Hanukkah, there is no mitzvah to eat a festive meal every day like there is on Chol HaMoed, or on Purim, where there's a mitzvah to eat a special Suda. But if a person, the minig is to have Sudas like that, and if you say things to do with the Nais and Shiros v'Sishbachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a Sudas mitzvah. But there's no chiyuv to do that. There's also a minig to eat milchiks on Hanukkah, zecher to the Nais that happened with Yehudis, that she fed the Greek general milk and the cheese, and got him tired, and then cut off his head. And there's no minute to cut people's heads off just to eat cheese.
So she'd be married not to eat, because the guy who ate milk.
For us, that was good. There's also a minute to eat foods made with oil. Okay. It's also this is just as dangerous as. And in America, that was in Chutz La'aretz, the minig was to eat latkes, which are dripping with oil. And here, the minig more is to eat sufganiyot, which are not necessarily dripping with oil, but are soaked with oil. And I always like to say there's another reason for sufganiyot. The miracle of Hanukkah showed that the ikkar in this world is not the chitzoni, it's not the external things like Greece represented, but the internal spiritual things. And in a jelly donut, that's exactly the point. The ikkar is not what's on the outside, the ikkar is what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. So, what? No, that's not true, because halacha is things that are cooked or baked together, even if the mezonos is not the ikkar, it's only a tafel, and it's the meal, you still make a mezonos. So there's nothing to do with what's the ikkar and what's the tafel. Hanukkah is a time to strengthen Limud HaTorah, not to weaken it, and therefore yeshivas that give off on Hanukkah are beyond my comprehension, unless the guys, when they're not in yeshiva, learn even more. Right, when they don't have to only learn during Seder, they could learn it. But if that's not the case, then it's best that the yeshiva not give off during Hanukkah and give off some other time. Okay. The mitzvah. Okay, the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is a mitzvah that devolves on the home, Mikra Adin. In other words, as long as one candle is lit, for all the members of the household, that's the Ikar Mitzvah, Ner Ishu Beisav. Then the Chachamim gave possibilities to do the mitzvah in a more mahudr way. Not that you have to do it, but you can voluntarily do it better. And the minig has become to do it the voluntarily better way. One of the reasons why that is the case, why there's such an idea of doing it, that the Chacham gave you these voluntary things, is because the Nes itself was only voluntary. Because really, Nikra Din, they were anusim. They didn't have to light the menorah at all. They didn't have to find, and the Rebbeinu didn't have to give them pach shemen to be able to light the menorah. They were potter from lighting the menorah. But they wanted to light anyway, voluntarily, and the Rebbeinu went along with them and gave them the means of doing it, and in order that they shouldn't be mevatel the lighting of the menorah, gave them enough time so they could produce more shemen that was fit. So the whole Nes happened in a voluntary way. So the mitzvah was created in such a way that there was room for doing things voluntary. That's one of the reasons why. In any case, another reason why they did it like that is to make clear that it's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. By a mitzvah of the Raisa, you don't find any such thing. That there's mahadrin and a mahadrin. Either it's a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah. Right? There's one way of doing the mitzvah. So on Hanukkah, they made it in such a way with mahadrin to make it clear that it was only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And by Purim, they did the same thing. They made two separate days, which you remember fine by mitzvah d'oraisa, that some days one Jews have and some days other Jews have. You have an idea of chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, but that's not that some Jews have one day and some Jews have a different day. Every Jew has the same day. The question is, when is that day? But no, there is no mitzvah from the Torah where you have different Jews celebrating on different days. And that also was done specifically to make it clear it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Why? By Purim, they made it in days different. And by Hanukkah, they made it in Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin, that there's plenty of room to explain why the Dafka. But the basic idea is they did it in a way that it's clear that it's not similar to a mitzvah from the Torah. Okay, in any case, so we're no hate to do like the Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, which means that everyone in the family, we'll see now men or women, but the women are as high in their chayiv just as much as men. Whether they're Mekayim, the Mahadrim, and a Mahadrim of lighting their own menorah, that's a different story. But if there is no one else lighting in the house, a woman has to light Hanukkah menorah. She's chayiv in the mitzvah as much as a man is. But whether they're Mekayim, that extra minig of lighting their own candles, that's a question of whether that's the case or not. In any case, what is the minig? The minig is that all male members of the house, at least, light their own menorahs, and they also light the amount of candles that fit the day that of Hanukkah. First day one, second day two, and so on. A woman who's married, according to most opinions, does not light her own menorah because she's included in her husband's lighting, ishto kegufo. So there's no reason for her to light separately, and if she does light separately, she should not light with a bracha. Even though theoretically she could have kavana not to be yotze with her husband's lighting and light with a bracha, definitely that's not what we do. I have the minig, and I've seen that maybe there are other people who also have such a minig, to share the lighting with my wife, even though it's brought down that one person should light and not two different people. But here, since the wife's not lighting, because she's considered one with the husband, so it's not a different person. So I light the first candle, and then the first day, and there's nothing else to light, so that's tough. And the second day, I light the first one, and my wife lights the second one, and so on throughout the yontif. But some places, the wife doesn't do anything. She stands there and answers amen, and looks pretty, and that's the wife's part of this mitzvah. Now, whether other children light, the minhag is that all children who are of an educationable age also light al chinuch. So children who are over bar mitzvah light because of mahadrim and a mahadrim. Children who are under educationable under bar mitzvah but of an educationable age light because of chinuch to that mahadrim and a mahadrim. And children who are under educationable age don't light. They're not yet roi l'chinuch, and chinuch from menorah means that they are responsible enough to light a candle, right, and not burn down the house or burn down everybody else around. Right, they're capable of doing the. How old? It depends on the kid. Right. Some teenagers aren't yet holding by that, but they have no choice. It depends. Depends on the maturity of the kid. But usually, a kid who's already 5, 6, 7, for sure, 5, 6 already is capable of doing that. But a 2, 3-year-old, there's no inyan to light candles for them or whatever. Just have another menorah burning. Yeah.
Not for girls.
The girls we didn't get to yet. So now, so now we're talking about boys. Now for girls. There's no, you can do whatever you want. You can light candles in the night also with your kids if you want. Right? You can fill your whole house with candles. But out chinuch and out mitzvah lechor, there's absolutely no mitzvah.
They learn already in the gamim and everywhere else about it.
That's all fine, so they can. No, not mechuyah. But again, the chinuch of the mitzvah doesn't depend on them knowing about it. It depends on them being able to do it properly. And that's the age of chinuch. The age of chinuch is when a child can do the mitzvah. Right? So maybe a 2-year-old can also understand a little bit about what a candle is or whatever, but he can't literally, physically do the mitzvah. He's not yet ready. Right? And that's for the rule of also. You can give to a kid who's 2 years old to use it as a broom or a spear or what's it called, or a ball to throw around. But when he can take it and shake it properly, then he's chayiv in the chinuch. So here the stamet goes on when he can light a candle properly. That's the mitzvah. Okay. When I was in Miami, I had a shul full of doctors. And somehow all their beepers went off right before my drosha started. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that everybody synchronized, right, their pikuach nefesh, like, you know, right, it was a little suspicious that that was a good excuse. Right, I doubt if that's the same thing over here. Okay, in any case, girls. Okay, now girls. There is a minig that women do not the kindness mahadrim, don't light their own menorahs. Okay, some of that reason is that since what's it called, when you light outside, it's not the tzniyas bit for a girl to say, start saying the brachas and light outside. According to that reason, if you light inside, shouldn't be a problem. Girls should be able to light inside. Another reason I saw why girls don't light is since the mother's not lighting, right, it wouldn't be nice for the girls to do what the mother's not doing already. Right? And since the chinuch is what they'll do when they grow up, hopefully when they grow up they'll get married, and they also won't light again. So therefore, that's another reason. According to that reason, even when you light inside. But that's one minig. There is a minig that girls also light. In my family, our minig was that girls do light. And then chutzar should lit inside. And here in Eretz Yisrael, where we light outside, the girls will might still lit inside. Right? By windows or whatever. So when we get to later on, to where you should light, we'll see that that if you have one person lighting outside, it could be good that everybody else lights inside by windows, and so there's all different vantage points of lighting. In any case, so whatever the minig in your family, if you have a minig specifically in your family that girls don't light, they shouldn't light. If you have no such minig in your family, then you can adopt the minig that girls do light. But if they light, it's preferable they light inside.
I don't understand what you're saying before, but hopefully they'll get married later, but the mitzvah starts already.
And they're 12, yeah. But ultimately, the goal is that they should not have to do this mitzvah. Right, so could be that chinuch. You're not mechanech them because they're going to always be in a situation where either the father's lighting and the mother, that's not the reason because the mother's not lighting. So forget about that reason. No, the idea is that they're going to one day be mothers themselves and not light either, right? Or wives themselves and not light. Where you're tightening that there's a long time in between. Okay.
I mean, even without that, even once they're married, still there are times that they could light. I understand,
but that's not and chanami. That's not the ikur thing. Those are the times of a yotzim in a klal. So you're not chanasim for a mitzvah. They have only yotzim in a klal. It could be also they get married, at 12 too, or before there. Right? So theoretically, they could be married, at 11 and never come to that field. Okay. They've been. L'chora, a woman has much reason to light the mahadrim. Mahadrim is a man. The reasons for not are minig reasons. You don't have such a minig, but partial it is that a girl shouldn't have the same minion as lighting as a man.
Is there any way that a mahadrim could light?
Light herself? Yeah, if her husband's not coming home and she's being motzi him. Any other way? L'chatchila, that she should dafke have kavana not to be otzi with her husband. It's a machlokus whether that helps or not. And therefore, sofik bracha is better, she shouldn't make the bracha. Okay. Next. When do you light? Let's do with that. Okay, let's go to when you light and how to light, and then we'll go to situations that are difficult, like being a guest or something like that. Okay, when to light. There are two different opinions in halacha when to light Chanukah menorah. One is b'shkiyas hachama, that's the Shitas HaRambam, that you light immediately at sunset. And the mitzvah goes on for a half an hour, and that's it. And if you don't light within that half hour from sunset, you don't have the mitzvah anymore. The other opinion is that the mitzvah starts at Tzeis HaKochavim. It starts here in Eretz Yisrael about 20 minutes to 25 minutes, about 20 minutes after Shkia. 20 minutes after Shkia is already Tzeis HaKochavim, the earliest Tzeis HaKochavim. Right? There's later times for Tzeis HaKochavim. Some hold that Tzeis HaKochavim L'chumra, in other words, like a Shabbos, we wouldn't do Malacha 20 minutes after Shkia. But here in Eretz Yisrael, Tzeis HaKochavim is probably around 30, 35 minutes, the most, maybe 40 minutes after Shkia. Okay, in Chutz Laaretz, Tzeis HaKochavim could be much longer. Depends really on the latitude, longitude, where you are exactly in the world. And Tzeis HaKochavim in Chutz Laaretz could be 90 minutes, even more after what's it called, after Shkia. There in Chutz Laaretz is an inyan of Rabbeinu Tam to be machmer that 72 minutes after Shkia is many people hold in Chutz Laaretz to be Tzeis HaKochavim. Here in Eretz Yisrael, though, the 20 minutes is the realistic time for Tzeis HaKochavim, not for Chumrah. And therefore, in order, and according to the second opinion, whenever Tzeis HaKochavim is 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 72 minutes, that's when the mitzvah starts, and it goes till a half an hour after that. Okay. We'll see the extension of this half an hour, but that's the Iker Shir, is a half an hour. So, therefore, theoretically, though, you could light earlier and let it burn a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. So, therefore, the ideal thing to do, to be Yotze both Shitas, is to light it within the half hour of Shkia and let it burn for a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. So that means that if you're lighting it 20 minutes after Shkia, you're still within the half hour, which according to some opinions is right away at the beginning of Tzeis HaKochavim. So you have the ideal of having it within the half hour of Shkia and at the beginning of the first time, the earliest time of Tzeis HaKochavim. However, maybe Tzeis HaKochavim is later. Maybe Tzeis HaKochavim is really 30 minutes or 35 minutes. So therefore, you should have enough oil that it should burn a half an hour after 35 minutes after Shkia. So that means you need another 15 minutes to get to the real Tzeis HaKochavim or the more Chomer Dika Tzeis HaKochavim, plus another half hour, so it should burn about 45 minutes. Or even if you want to be Machmer more, right, the longest Tzeis HaKochavim should be here is about 40 minutes, right, so you have 20 minutes to get to Tzeis HaKochavim, another 30 minutes is 50 minutes. So if your candles burn 50 minutes, or even if they burn 45 minutes, you can do this. You can light 20 minutes after Shkia, and that way you have both milas. You have within a half an hour of Shkia, plus a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. If your candles don't burn that long, you're using the candles that burn just a half hour, then it's better to light at the later Tzeis HaKochavim, to light about the same time we make Shabbos, or Shabbos, which is about, 35 minutes after Shkia? 40 minutes? About 40 minutes after Shkia, and then let it burn a half hour. Not to light it earlier than that. But if you have oil, or you have bigger candles, and many of the candles, they burn more than 30 minutes. It depends if you froze them. It depends also what night it is, how much heat there is with all the candles, how fast they burn. But if you know that you have longer candles, or you have oil, the best thing to do is to light it 20 minutes after Shkia, which today is about 5 o'clock. In other words, these days, about around 5 o'clock, and let it burn until, 40 minutes, 20, plus another 50 minutes. That means till 10 to 6. That's the ideal. If not, then you should light it around, instead of 5 o'clock, to light it about 5:20, which is time for Maariv, right? 5:20, and let it burn till 10 to 6. So that's those are the two possibilities of when to light. Okay, now, where to light. Okay, in Chutz Laretz, almost everyone had the minig of lighting inside the house. When you light inside the house, if you have a window that faces towards some Rishus HaRabin, where the public thoroughfare, public street or whatever, then you lit in that window. And if you lighten the window, then there's no inyan dafka to worry about how high or low the menorah is from floor level. It should be in the window so people can see it. Okay. If you don't have a window like that, you have no window, and if you have a window in your house in the kitchen that doesn't open to a public thoroughfare, but you have a window in a bedroom that does, then you should light in the bedroom window. If you're lighting inside, you should light in the window that has the greatest exposure. Okay, if you don't have any window like that, you have no window in your house that opens to, you live in an apartment complex, and none of your windows open to anything but blank walls of other people or whatever, right? So then there's no window to light in. Then you light, if you're lighting inside, on the inside of the door, on the opposite side of the mezuzah. You light on the inside, and then you light within a tefach of the door on the inside, right? And you light higher than 10 tefachim from the ground, which is about 30 inches, and higher than 3 tefachim and less than 10 tefachim. In other words, somewhere between 10 and 30 inches or 12 and 40 inches, something like that. And that area, it shouldn't be so high that it looks like that you're using as a regular light. People don't put lights that low. And it shouldn't be so low there's Mamish on the ground. So it should be somewhere between there.
Measured by the flames.
Measured by the flames, not the menorah. So if you have a big menorah, you can put it on the ground. The flames are then somewhere between 3 and 10 tefachim. So if you, however, here in Eretz Yisrael, the minig is to light outside. And that is preferable to chatchila, but if you light outside, you're going to have to get one of those glass boxes to put the menorah in so the wind doesn't put out the menorah. And if you're getting a glass box, it should be one that you can light it while it's still protected. Now, either the opening should be at the bottom of the box, so you can stick your hand in from the bottom, or the opening, there should be an opening in the side that the wind doesn't directly come over the candles, that when you light it, it's not going to be able to stay on unless you close it. B'dieved, if you have a box that is open and then you have to close it for the wind, since it's in that box already and it's ready to be closed, that's still considered like you lit it in a place where it could last. But l'chatchil is better to get a box where when you light it, there's no wind. So you're lighting it from beneath or from the side, from something, say, where the wind isn't attacking you directly. And then you light on the door, outside the door, or in the doorway, within a tefach. The first candle should be within a tefach of the doorway, and it should be, on the opposite side of the mezuzah. And that's it. And it should be positioned in a way that most has the greatest exposure to the people walking by. If you have a yard in front of your house that's fenced in, or a mirpeset or something like that, then there are two opinions. One opinion is that you still light by the door of your house and not at the doorway of the mirpeset, even if your mirpeset doesn't have a door. But it has an entranceway. It's not totally open, where there's nothing. It's not surrounded by anything. It's an open yard. An open yard, you don't light the end of the yard. Then you light by the door. But if it has like a wall, and there's an opening, right? It doesn't have to have a tzuras ha-pesach, where it's a doorway or whatever. But just an opening into the thing, a gate, without a gate, just a plain opening. Then some hold in Yerushalayim, the minig is to light by the opening of that yard. Not by the house, and Chazal Nish held that our yards aren't what Chazal were talking about, and therefore you light by the house even if you have a yard in front. Okay. If you don't have walls surrounding your mirpeset, or low walls that are not 10 tefachim high, then that for sure not considered a Pesach HaChotzer. There's no opening considered over there. That's why I light my menorah by my back door. Right, because that's the one where most people will see it coming from a lot of different directions rather than my front door. But if you have a mirpeset that's built up with walls, right, then it could be you should light it where most people will see it. If because the mirpeset is closed in, if you light it on the door of your house, not nobody will see it unless they mamish peek into the doorway. Right, and if you light it on the outside of that mirpeset, right, more people will see it. Then you should be somech on the minig Yerushalmi and light it on the outside of the mirpeset. And past this, that becomes like part of your house. It becomes like another room, almost. If it's really built up, it's almost like another room. So it's not even a chotzer. It's another room of the house. Then for sure you should light it on the outside of that. If it's somewhere in between, so ask a shayla what's better to do. But either way, there's somebody who holds you to light like that. Now, that's the main menorah. If there is a room, then a lot of people can light there, want to light outside. But if there's not room there for lighting a lot of menorahs, right, then the rest of the menorahs that are lit by the children in the house or whoever else is in the house, they can light inside. If they light inside, again, they should light by the windows where there's exposure, and they should light in different places so you have menorahs in all the different directions that you could possibly house. That's greater pirsumei nisa. Okay, that is, how do you light?
Yeah. The flame should be one tefach close to the wall.
they should be, the first flame should be within a tefach of the doorway, or either in the doorway, then it doesn't have to be a tefach of the side, right? It's not in the doorway, it should be,
right. The thing for the right side,
yeah.
It should be on the left side of the doorpost, and how is it going to be within a tefach of the doorway?
So you make that candle...
You should start from the...
Right. The candle that you start with, that should be the one that's closest to the door, but the other one can be farther on. Or you put him, this way, right, perpendicular with the doorpost. Either way. Okay, now, we don't have anybody here who lives in the second floor.
Okay, I have to go to the left side of the upstairs.
Well, you have the doorway, so either you put the candle that you're lighting, it's only first night, there's only one candle, that's the candle that should be within a tefach, and the other ones that are on the other side go beyond the door, right? And so you set up the menorah in such a way that the candle, the first candle that you're lighting, should be within a tefach of the Pesach.
And if there's a wall there,
then
that's not
shayach. Why isn't it shayach?
Why? Because there's always going to be the space of the menorah between the wall and the fresh light.
No, so that's it. So you turn the menorah around. You put the first light closest to the door.
And not light.
And light from right behind it, or whatever.
Right from left to right.
Yeah? No, light from behind it. Or put the menorah perpendicular to the door. And then stand on the side and light it the regular way.
And then it won't be able to be seen from the street then.
Why not? If it's perpendicular, people see it when they look on the perpendicular. They won't see all the. If it's every different nights, they may see one line of things this way, but doesn't.
That's the tefach from the post.
A tefach from the doorway, right?
So
the doorway starts.
If I put it in the halal,
the pesach, no problem. Right? No, it's definitely not putting in the halal. You can't put it inside the door. The what's it called? The air of the door. You're putting it on the outside of the door, right? Because there's no room. The door's too windy. If you put the menorah there, you won't be able to get in. So there's some doors like that. So then you have to put it on the outside of the door. Then the candle you're lighting, should be the nearest towards the halal of the door. And then you can light it from the other side. You can still light it the right way, right? Just where you stand. Okay. And if you can't do it like that, then put it perpendicular and stand on either side. Okay. Okay, how do you light? The what's it called? There's quite a few different minhagim, but our minig is that we light, we put in the candles on the right to left, and we light from left to right. Right? Yeah. Put them in. The first candle is the farthest to left. You stand opposite the menorah. You light the one to your farthest right. The next night, you add one towards the left. But you light them from that new one and then towards the right. You're always going towards the right, and you're adding new candles towards the left. Okay, you're lighting left to right, you're putting in right to left. So every night, you add another candle towards the left, and you light that candle first, and you go towards the right, where the last candle you lit is the one that you lit first. The first night is the last one that you light every night. Okay, that's it. The first you make the bracha lahadlik ner shel lachanukah, and some people say lahadlik ner shel lachanukah and all in one word. Some people say lahadlik ner chanukah without the shell altogether. Whatever your minig is, that's what you should say. Mishabura seems to say you should say shel lachanukah, not shel chanukah. And then you make the bracha shasa nisim. Right, and here again, some people say Bazman Hazeh, and some people say Bizman Hazeh, and the same thing with the Shechiyonu. Some people say Lazman Hazeh, and some people say Lizman Hazeh. And after you make all three brachas, then you light the candle. The second night, right, and then after you light the candle, you sing Haneris Halolu. The other night, you make all two brachas. You only make two brachas the other night. You make both brachas before you light anything. After the brachas, you light the candle. And then, while you're lighting the other candles, you sing Haneris Halol. You don't have to wait to say Haneris Halol until you light all the candles, just after the first one is lit. Okay.
Or Shalach on the
Pasuk. What?
Where's the Mishnah word again? Shel la Chanukah.
Shel la Chanukah?
There's no word shel la. Okay, it's a combination in Tanakh where they say the word shel la.
Where? Why would you say it like that?
Yeah.
Instead of shell, because it's not.
Well, it's not Yosei Bokashito. You're not sure it's shell, but they sure it's rock. So they shell out the Yosei Bokashito.
No, it's not. That's not the reason he says it. It's because Shel Chanukah means it's the nair of the holiday of Chesnad. It's a nair Chanukah. That's what it's called. That's why those who don't say Shel Bechlau. The one who says Shel La Chanukah is not that this is a nair Shel Chanukah. It's the nair. Which is, it's more like saying near Chanukah. That's not to be Yotze both Shitas. It's that Shela Chanukah does not mean the near of Chanukah, right? That would mean it's not near Chanukah itself. It's a near of the holiday of Chanukah, right? That's why some people say you shouldn't say near Shel Chanukah, but it's Shela Chanukah means, it means more like near Chanukah than of Chanukah. It's not of, would you translate it good? Shelah Chanukah, the...
That is for Chanukah.
That is for the sake of Chanukah, something like that, yeah. So it's not Shel Chanukah, meaning it's of the holiday of Chanukah, right? It is, this is Ner, right, which is being used for the sake of Chanukah. Not the holiday, but for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah.
That's it.
Shell?
And Shabbos?
Ner Shel Shabbos? Right, that's a different thing, because Ner Shel Shabbos is not... There's some people say Ner Shabbos also. But Shel Shabbos means it is. It's a Ner that's to be used for the sake of for Shabbos. So then Shel Shabbos is okay. It's not Ner Shabbos necessarily. It's Ner Shel Shabbos. But this is Neros Chanukah. They're not the Neros of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. They are Ner Chanukah. Okay, what oils to use? The oils, lechatchila, you should light with shemen zayis. That's the hiddur. If you can't use shemen zayis, you can use any other oils, but then some people hold that bizman hazeh, paraffin candles are the next hiddur. So you can use regular candles, wax candles. The wicks should be made of something that will remain, you know, burning. Usually cotton is used for wicks. I don't think anybody uses anything else besides cotton. Cotton is usually the material for wicks, and you don't have to use new wicks every night. You can use the wicks over and over again until they can't be used anymore. There's a question about using oil that's not edible. But really what the halacha is, you can't use oil that's niyus. But the oil is not edible, it's not niyus, it's not edible. The halacha is for sure, paraffin's also not edible. Right? So you don't have to use edible oil. You just have to use oil that's not niyus, it's not disgusting. The reason you wouldn't eat it is because it's disgusting. But the reason that these oils that are shemen lamor are not oils that are disgusting to eat, something's wrong with them, nobody has anything disgusting about them. They're just taken from the olive in a time when either they're bitter or there's impurities in them or whatever that are not good for eating. But it's not that they're meas, right? Other. They're very nice to use for candles. So I don't see any reason. There are people who shouldn't use it. I don't see any reason why you can't use them, why it's not muhudr, why it's a hiddur to use. And it doesn't have to be the same oil that was used in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, because then you have to use shemen rishon, right, which is kosher in the menorah, which is the first, what's it called, squeezing the olives, and nobody's mocked it on that unless I didn't see that yet on the streets, you know, the shemen rishon for Hanukkah that costs eight times as much as regular shemen zayis, and somebody's going to make a profit on that. But I haven't seen anybody come up with that yet. The hash is no heather for that. Not that I know of. No, I don't know if they're really
ashes.
Yeah.
Could be very accurate from the olive oil.
No, that's a reyach of olive oil. It's not something that's meas. That's like the kind of smells that it's just a it's a smell that's miyuchad to olive oil. But all things that burn have their own smell. Okay. the chatchila, also the menorah itself, should be something chashuv. Should be the hiddur, biggest hiddur is either a gold menorah, or if you can't afford a gold menorah, at least a silver menorah. Right? Mestama, gold menorah would be a bigger hiddur. Silver menorah. And then down in different kinds of metals, or shouldn't use a wooden menorah that's going to end up burning, right? Or a plastic menorah, because especially not on Shabbos. An uncoated klicheres, what's it called? A menorah of earthenware, right? Can only be used once. But if it's coated, glazed, then you can use it over and over again. That's glass, basically glass menorah, which you can clean off, is fine. What?
We're doing it in the glasses.
Right, okay. I don't know if that's called really not using the menorah. It doesn't have to be that the oil is in the menorah itself. The menorah itself is what holds up those glasses. So you're lighting in the menorah, just protecting it with something else. I don't know if that's called lighting in glass. That's called lighting in silver. Except the silver needs the glasses to protect it or whatever. The chatchila...
And the other part is no receptacle.
What?
There's no receptacle.
Where?
Without the glasses.
What do you mean without the glasses, no receptacle? There is. You can put it into the place where you put the glasses. Put the oil there.
As long as the hold on the floor.
No, it depends. Some have a big thing and you put the glass inside it. It's that you could use the oil of the thing too. If not, that's the way the menorah is. That's a silver menorah that's made to be used together with glass cups. So they're really using this menorah because glass cups themselves couldn't stand up. They're made to fit into this thing. So the whole menorah is the menorah. Except in order not to get your menorah ruined, you use the glass as a protective thing.
So that's what it's like inside the silver?
To light inside the silver, I don't think so. To ruin the menorah, it's not good.
To ruin the menorah.
What's it called? Again, the glass is mishamish the silver. So basically, the menorah you're using is a silver menorah. I don't see any reason why you can't use this. You're not lighting in glass things. If you put those glass on a thing, they wouldn't stand up. Most of them. So you're not lighting glass menorah, you're lighting a silver menorah with a protective thing that you're using to protect your menorah from getting burnt. So that's still considered using a silver menorah. The lechatchila also, the different neiros should be connected into some kind of menorah, not separate little things that you use one at a time, like little cups that you put next to each other. But that's a hiddur, where if you don't have a menorah and you just use potatoes that you carve out and put oil in it, is also okay. Even though each candle is a separate thing, is also okay. The chatzil is a hiddur to use a menorah, to use something where they're connected together.
You build a menorah out of sand?
Sand is probably like cliferous. You can use it once, if that.
One lighting.
Yeah. But we don't have nobody except the only gun, they make klicheres. Or without glazing it. But we don't sell menorahs that are unglazed klicheres. You couldn't get them.
You know? Don't know, as you were down in the Negev, you maybe built a menorah out of sand, you put that blue glazing in there.
It could be if you use the glasses there to protect it, it doesn't become niyus, it's okay to use it more than once. If you use a klicheres menorah with glasses, right, doesn't contradict what I said before, you're still lighting the klicheres. But the whole reason the klicheres you can't use more than once, because usually if you light in the klicheres, it gets niyus. But here, because of the protection of the glass, it won't get near, so it's okay to use more than once. Now the time for lighting. If you're lighting inside your house, you can light all night with a bracha. Preferably, there should be at least another person up when you're lighting. You should be up when you're lighting, too, and there should be at least one other person up when you're lighting. Really, Nikar Adin, you can light, if you're the only one up, you can light all night, come home. And if you're lighting outside, then L'chatchili should light within a half an hour of Shkia or Tzeis HaKochavim. If you didn't light within that half hour, then most poskim hold that today the time for lighting is extended more than a half hour. In time of Chazal, after half an hour, people weren't in the street. Half an hour after Tzeis or half an hour after Shkia, they weren't in the street. Now, people are around, because there's artificial lighting, people are around a lot longer. So as long as the majority of people, the stores are still open or whatever, here on Bakatiyo, the store is open till what time? 10 o'clock? So I would say that since there are people around, the store is open, you can light with a bracha till 10 o'clock. After that, you should light inside and make a bracha and not light outside anymore. Okay, and also there's a hither mitzvah, therefore, if you light outside, to light, to have enough oil that you learn, burn till 10 o'clock, because there's pesumei nisa involved. On the other hand, or to have big candles. And then if you're lighting inside, where the whole pesumei nisa is basically for the people in the house, then after the half hour, there's no inyan to have it burn longer than that. And the pesumei nisa is a half an hour, and that's it. So if you're lighting inside, there's no inyan to use a lot of oil. If you're lighting outside, there's an inyan to put enough oil in, it should burn till about 10 o'clock. Here in Matatio. In other places could be different. Could be Nushalayim, stores close at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Gula is deserted by Lechora 8, 8:30. All the stores are closed. So if you live in Nushalayim, it could be, it's different. What? What? Yeah, okay, but that's, there's still things that are open and people after Hanukkah lift, you know, running around. Yeah, but most of the time that's not the case. Right? I hear. Yeah, but now after 10 o'clock, in this moshav, not so many people walking around, except for teenagers. What?
We have the basketball court.
All right, now, except for teenagers, the majority of us old fogies are. Most people don't walk around here after 10 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Okay. What else? Okay, if you're a guest. So here, what most posts can hold, and if you don't want to be machmer, you could really rely on that. And most posts can hold that if you go away to sleep for the night, then you light where you are a guest, or you... mishtatek with the people who are lighting, buy into their menorah and light yotze through them, or you can light your own menorah also. And if nobody's home, you don't have to light at home at all. Okay. Some hold, the Yoshev holds like this, that only applies if you're away for most of Hanukkah. But if you're only going away for one or two, three nights, then you, what's it called, still have to light at home. And you should have a shliach light your candles at home, and you can also light where you are without a bracha, or be mishtatef with the people, right, in order to be yotzei that shita. So if you want to be machmer and you go away for less than half of Hanukkah, you should have somebody light, no, you go away just for Shabbos Hanukkah, you should have somebody light candles in your house, and they light without a bracha because nobody from the house is there. And then where you are, you should either light your own without a bracha or be mishtatef with somebody. Because to be yotzei the shita is holy, you should light where you are now, not we are in your house because nobody's there. So if you don't want to be machmer, most poskim don't hold like that. And they hold that if you go away for even one night and you're sleeping in the place where you are a guest, then you light there. That becomes your house for the day and you light there. Or you buy into the oil of the other family and be okay with their lighting. If you're not going to be sleeping there, you're going to eat by somebody, and you're there by candle lighting time, but you're coming home, then you should light when you get home. And again, if it's within the time that people are still around, you should light outside if you normally light outside, and if not, you should light inside. But then you can't light in the place you are. The only difference is if you spend, let's say, Shabbos at somebody's home, and you're there also candlelighting time, Moshe Shabbos. But you plan to go home Moshe Shabbos. So there you can light in the house where I see most posts can hold, even on the past I didn't say that. I see that it's not, most posts can hold not like that. You can light in the house where you slept Shabbos, even though you're not going to sleep there Moshe Shabbos. But you're still there, so your guest being a guest extends for a few more hours, and since you slept there, that's your place until you go back. So you can light there on Motzei Shabbos with yourself or be mishtatef with the family, or you can wait to light later on when you'll get home. And again, with the parameters of where to light based on what time you get home. But you can light, if you want, with the family who are staying after Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. And that probably means the same thing at any time. If you stay overnight by somebody, and then the next day you're there all day into the night again, but you're going to go home that night, the Stam you can light does not do with Motzei Shabbos. You can Stam it light that night also, where you were staying, since you slept over a night, that's enough. What else? We add children who are in yeshivas, if they're sleeping in the yeshiva, right, they're not coming home to sleep, then they should light in yeshiva. Where they light in yeshiva, the yeshiva should tell them where to light, for a few reasons. One is, there's a shaila, whether you light where you sleep or where you eat. In Tells, they used to light in the Beis Medrash, not where they ate and not where they slept, or maybe where they ate and they slept had learned, that's who you were. So yeshivas have the different opinions where you should light, in the dormitory or in the dining room. Also, there's a yonim of fire hazard, so some yeshivas have rules where they let you light and where they won't let you light. So if you're a girls in a girls' school or whatever, and should be the same shaila, and whatever they tell you to light, that's the time they ask somebody, and that's fine. If they're coming home, then they can light at home. Because they're sleeping at home, even though they're attending yeshiva in the daytime, their main kliyas is where they come home at night, they should light at home. What else? What? Yeshiva, yeah, they have to make their own bracha.
Why is it that when you're not in yeshiva, but you went away, you don't make a bracha?
You do make a bracha. If you went away, you can be mishtatef with the people in the house, or you can light your own menorah and make a bracha. In benching and in Shmoneh Esrei, we had Ala Nisin. If you forgot Ala Nisin, you don't go back, but in the Tzor, you can say it there, and in benching in the Harachamans, you can say it. But if you already said the next bracha, you said Shem Hashem from Al Horitz El Amozon, or Shem Hashem from Hatov Shimcha, you don't go back, you finish, and that's it. You don't, and there's no mention of Hanukkah in Alamichya. Okay. I think that finishes it. Any questions? The wicks, after the time that, the half hour, nothing has kedusha. But what's left over last night from things that either went out within the half hour, or the last night within the half hour, or you intended to light it longer after Sumei Nisa, and there was something left from that time, then the oil and the wicks shouldn't be used for anything else, and in order they shouldn't leave them for a year and end up using them the minute it's to burn them. You have to just make a bonfire and burn them after Hanukkah.
What connection is there between Arach HaMikdash and the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash?
Only that it's a zecher to the nace that happened with the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The Dafka, we don't have menorahs that are seven branches, because you're not allowed to make a menorah seven branches. Yeah. In fact, I think Rav Kook says that's why they made Hanukkah 8 days. Because really it should be only 7 days, because one day anyway wasn't burned. But they make Hanukkah 8, but you wouldn't make a menorah of 7 things. You'd have to adopt to make one of 8 things.
Even if it doesn't have the same
thing? Right, because the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, if it wasn't made out of gold, didn't have to have all of the tzura of the menorah. It could be just seven shvudin shel baris, all the Gemara says they used. So it doesn't have to have all the kaptorim and prochim and gevian. It just could be anything with a receptacle if it wasn't made of gold, and therefore you can't have anything made of any other metal. Now, if it's not made of metal, then it's not a problem. But things are made of, because a menorah had to be made of metal. Couldn't be made of pashas, and couldn't be made of wood. But perhaps a wooden menorah of 7 things wouldn't be awesome. But any metal menorah of seven things, not only seven things that are in a line of seven, any chandelier with seven things on it is a big problem. Could be a nisa v'raisa to have it. And even if it doesn't have a place for oil, but it has a place to put a bulb in it, and that place, theoretically, you could put oil in, or put something in to put oil in, is also awesome. So if you have chandeliers that have seven bulbs, right, it's a problem. Eight is okay, six is okay. If you have such a thing, what you should do is close up one of them, right, so you can't put oil into it. Meaning there's no receptacle. You put cement or something in it, close it up completely. Not just put a piece of paper over the top, but they put it in and it's not usable anymore. And then it could be if that's okay. Whereas if you just have a seven thing that looks like a menorah, but there's no place to put candles or oil or anything, right, that's not called a menorah.